Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note. BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all of your sports wagering needs, basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right at home. Head to the website today, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. That spells BELIEVE. Bet online, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker, Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, it's a big, big week, you know, and we have a big guest. I mean, this guy is arguably one of the greatest to ever wear a UCLA uniform, none other than DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. What's up, bro?
What's going on? Thank you guys for having me.
No problem. Thanks for being here. Dorian, when you hear something like that, being considered one of the best at UCLA, as you just kind of look back at your journey, what comes to mind for you?
Super honored. I know that was one of the goals for me walking into the university and into the program. So for me to come out and for others to say that about me, and for me not having to say that myself, I think is a pretty accomplishing on my part, as well as all the people that was involved with it. So,
and speaking of goals, I would only imagine, especially considering what this week is, the NFL draft, how far back can you maybe even recall maybe dreaming or imagining yourself playing in the NFL one day?
Well, that's really what got me hooked into football, was watching the NFL. So I've been thinking about this for a while now. And so now that it's finally here, super special. I obviously get to spend it back home with my family. So it's going to be a big week. We're excited all for it. So I'm super happy for sure.
You've been pretty much everywhere all over the country. Just, I know you've just been posting. You're here, you're there. What had the past like few weeks been for you?
Yeah, just like you said, super busy, but also good at the same time. It's a good busy. So I'm super happy I got interest from teams to be able to come in, meet the coaching staff, see the environment. Got to see a lot of cool places and meet a lot of cool people. And then also learn ball. So I think that was probably the coolest part about it. And I learned a lot over my last few weeks, for sure.
We'll talk more about your UCLA career in a minute. But just, again, with the NFL draft process and the journey, what have you learned about yourself along the way?
Yeah, I talk with my friends about this all the time. It's, you know, that I'm enough. I think as athletes, sometimes we like to compare ourselves to others. And so for me to just obviously go through the whole thing with the All-Star Week, the Combine, and then the Pro Day, I obviously got to compare myself firsthand to a lot of guys. And so just knowing that, you know, I have enough skills and enough talent to make it and do what it takes at the next level. If not better than some guys out there. So
I remember you saying that at the pro day after we talked to you then. And I think I'd asked you about you working out with Max Duggan and some of the other quarterbacks. I think one of the other questions that was asked of you during that interview was whether or not scouts or anyone, you know, through the process has thought about maybe having you do receiving or some receiver drills or anything like that. And you had said that you wanted to, and you were kind of open to it, and that you said the scouts had said no. I've kind of mentioned that when I've kind of done radio interviews and they've asked me about you and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, he was kind of open to doing it, but the scouts didn't want that. Can you just tell us like a little bit more about that? And one, how that made you feel, and maybe why you felt the need to kind of go ahead and maybe explore some of your other skill sets.
Yeah, I think, a lot went into the decision. Obviously I want to make the most value for myself going into the league and give myself the chance I need to get onto the field. And so that was kind of the thought process going into it. But really it speaks volumes to what I put on tape, the things I've been able to accomplish at UCLA, that teams really don't want to see me at any other position besides quarterback. They know I'm a quarterback. It even speaks volumes to teams like the Bengals who have paid their guy already. And teams like that still believe in me, and my skill set and what I bring to the table and how cerebral I am. So I just think it speaks volumes to all the work I've put in for sure.
Was it maybe like kind of a sigh of relief in some regard that you didn't have to go above and beyond maybe to prove yourself and that your work could kind of speak for itself in a way?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it was like that kind of the whole process. Just kind of hearing my name being talked about more and more, the buzz kind of building up as we get closer and closer to the final decisions. I think, again, so how much work I put in throughout these last 8 weeks, prepping for all this stuff and actually being able to perform when given an opportunity. So I think I'm pretty proud of myself where I stand right now heading into the draft.
You said like hearing your name kind of being mentioned and stuff. I was listening to, I listened to a few different podcasts and your name did come up a few different times. One of them was kind of like, who is someone kind of under the radar, someone in that could, you know, kind of surprise some people down the road. And your name came up. And I guess the two guys who were talking, they were scouts who had seen you at the Shrine Bowl. Mm-hmm. And they said, like, you were working with Bill Belichick and like Bill Belichick was on you. And like, I guess, riding you the whole practice of like something along those lines of like, he was just like on you and trying to push you or challenge you. Can you just tell us a little bit about the experience working with Bill? I know Bill's kind of, he's been on campus, right? He's like buddies with Chip. So yeah, probably not the first time you met him, but what was that like working with Bill Belichick?
Yeah, no, it was super cool. And as loud and hectic as he had may seem, it was all just to get a message across. He was trying to teach me something, as well as the rest of the quarterbacks. And so he's super helpful. I will say that he's super knowledgeable about, he knows about what he's talking about. And so he just wants to get you to the right answer. And so I think I appreciate him a lot for that as a coach, for sure.
This feels real. I feel like when we've had like other guys on here, it's been more relaxed. So I mean, I know how like you've been going through this process. This just feels like real professional. So I'm only gonna ask like one more serious question.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
because we're getting the good stuff.
We had Shay on the other week, and we were just laughing the whole time. So the only question I would have is just, what would you say to the team that's going to get you? Like, what would you want to say to that fan base? What would you want to say to that locker room? What would you say to that team? Like, what are they getting when they draft DTR?
Yeah, I think they're getting a guy that's chasing consistency. I think that's the biggest thing that keeps you around the longest. And so if I can come in the same guy every day, putting the same energy and effort as I did when I first walked in the door, I think it'll take me a long way and everything else will take care of itself. So they're getting a hard worker and someone that's going to represent them real well.
There you go.
Go ahead, Josh. You want to dive into some of the fun stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's just cool. I mean, as I've had other people on and even your time, like I've tried to give you your flowers and have other, you know, give other people their flowers now.
Right.
Just seeing, you know, somebody like, again, like you, somebody that, you know, came in a kid and like goofy little Dorian to now seeing how you carry yourself and just professionalism and just the growth. I mean, bro, like it's just awesome to see. And I always say, like, I wish I got the guys that were younger when I was old, I wish I got to play with the older version of them.
Yeah, we say that all the time too. We be talking about that all the time.
And I know, I know the older guys probably were pissed off with me and annoyed with me when I was a young guy just trying to figure it out. But that's, I mean, I guess that's college football. That's the process. Yeah. And it's,
you gotta
like,
go through it.
You have to go through it, and everybody goes through it at a different time and different pace. But I mean, for you, like you, like we said, from that to, like I said, almost every record for quarterbacks, your name is on there as number one, or you're right there. So it's like, dang, like how do you feel? Yeah. Now from then, like through all the growing pains, how do you feel like reaching that pinnacle?
Dude, just like you said, I feel like a lot more mature. I feel a lot more grown up. Like I've learned a lot. I've had a ton of experiences being in LA, playing football at UCLA, going to school there, everything that it entails. And so all that combined, I think, has made me who I am right now, has helped me a lot through this process, is going to help me a lot going forward. Having to get that extra year from COVID served me a shit ton. Excuse my language.
You're but, fine. Go ahead.
bro, it helped out a lot for sure. And so I think just being there, I know I wanted to go 3 and out, but for me to have those extra 2 years under my belt, I think will serve me dividends later on. So
I remember your senior year. I don't know if part of it was because like we had just come back from like COVID. It was like the first time we were able to interview you again after all the COVID stuff or what, but like the first time I saw you in person after all that was like, you look bigger. You looked like, I don't know. You came across more mature. Like, I'm like, oh damn. I'm like business is about to pick up over here. Like
that boy done grew up.
Dorian's playing for keeps. And I could tell, like, I don't know what it was, but like, it just showed like just the way you were kind of carrying yourself. I mean, you always kind of carried yourself pretty professional, but there was something about those last 2 years. And kind of speaking on that last year, I know you kind of said early on, kind of going into that last year that you were going to kind of treat it as a professional year or kind of like I forgot how you phrased it, maybe like a pre-rookie season almost.
Right.
Just tell me a little bit about the decision. I think, I don't know if I heard it from you, but from someone like you moved out from the dorms. I think you wanted to kind of live on your own, maybe stuff like that. Just kind of talk about the whole decision and everything that you did to kind of change and put yourself in that like kind of NFL mindset while still at UCLA.
Yeah. Well, talking with my agents, were trying to be my agents, and all the information that they were giving me and my mom, we just felt like it was probably better for me stock-wise at that time to probably come back. Although I would have an opportunity and a shot coming out of that year in 21. Then getting into everything it entails to be an adult, I think that's probably the biggest thing from talking with people that have already gotten to the league that I know, that you now have to do everything on your own. You have to live on your own. You have to file taxes and do all this stuff with a bunch of money. So for me to come back, do an IL, do my own taxes, run my own business with my clothing line, like you said, move off campus and learn how to pay bills and water and all that stuff. That my mom used to do, or was provided by school. Now I got to do all that in 1 year while being able to play football and graduating all in 1 year. So for me to be able to come back and use my fifth year, I think was the most beneficial for me. And the one that was probably the most strategic of the year is the one I thought out the most and really had a plan going forward and making sure that I hit everything on my checklist at the end of the year. So,
hey everybody, just wanted to take a quick break to remind you guys that the football season is right around the corner. And when you're headed out to the Rose Bowl, what better shirt to wear than a Believe in UCLA football podcast shirt? By doing that, you're going out, you're going to the game, you're supporting your team, and you're supporting your favorite podcast at the same time. Some of the proceeds go back to the podcast and help support the content and the different things that we have planned going forward. So what better way to, again, support your team and your favorite podcast than by picking up the shirts? Now, where can you find these shirts? They're available at the Believe Network store, and we made it very easy for you. Scroll down on this podcast, check out the description. I got two links there for you for two different shirts. Make sure you check them out. Find the one that's right for you, and hopefully I see you wearing them out at the game. I'd love to see you wear them.
You said NIL. I mean, I didn't get to experience none of that. You know,
oh, yeah.
No, we wasn't getting no
Josh,
deals.
It's lovely. It's lovely.
Man, the closest thing that we got, which would be illegal, is like if we got a meal, right? Like that was, if we ever got hooked up with a meal or something out, that was like, we made it. You know what I'm saying? So like, how was the NIL process? And like, going, navigating, because I mean, there wasn't really no rules or no, like, you know, got like, it just seemed like they was like, oh, y'all can get money now. And now it's just like, all right, let me, are you just going after every deal? Are you having somebody just, you know, chasing certain things for you or lining things up for you? How did that go?
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. I wish I would have dove into it a little bit more. I did have plenty of opportunities. I played it real smart and safe because it was obviously my last year. And so I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything on the field, obviously, and showing that I could do everything there. So I didn't put as much attention into it as I could have. Said no to a lot of things, but really it started with my agent. I do have a marketing agent in Roc Nation. And so they have taken care of everything for me. They line them up. And I either say yes or no to it. And so this past year, a lot of the time it was no. The few times I did, I struck some pretty good money along the way and was able to help out a few people, including my teammates and being able to host team bonding events and stuff like that. So
that's fire.
It was pretty cool. So.
What was your favorite deal and a deal that you said no, and you're looking like, damn, I should have took that one.
Oh. Let's see. Probably so my favorite one was probably Crocs. I never wore Crocs before getting that deal.
That's crazy.
But I think it was probably after we beat LSU maybe. And I got that deal and it ended up raising money done. And so the deal I wish I would have said yes to is probably there's a trading card company. And after we was like 6-0, it was hot.
Ooh,
the number
yeah.
was hot. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to ride it out a little more. We got Oregon. Mm-hmm. We got this and this. Yeah. And then things ain't in the fall the right way. And end up losing some money on that. But, yeah.
Can we talk about that last season real quick? And just the way – you guys started out hot. So I've seen a lot of your journey. And just the way the team kind of turned around and things started going. Everything was kind of going the way you guys wanted to. But how nice did it feel to kind of be kind of in that national picture – kind of on the cusp of being like a national title contender if you beat Oregon, if you beat which one of the Arizona schools, I believe it was, you know, but how good did it feel to kind of be in the mix that late into the season?
Yeah, I feel like, shoot, the past 3 years almost, even with COVID, a couple games away in there, we was right there to be in the Pac-12 championship.
Mm-hmm. So close.
And especially this past year. And so I think we were looking too far at the end of the tunnel after we got after on that bye week. Kind of got a little lax and was, you know, things started to slip through the cracks a little bit. But those first 6 weeks, man, we were locked in. We were dialed in. We were playing for each other. It was definitely a time to be alive, not only in the building. Mm-hmm. Josh, as you know, them first couple years was rough to walk in the malls. It was tough to even have a conversation with people in there. So. For us to be able to come in there and look forward to every day, including the Sundays and all that it entails in the season and how long it is, for us to be able to walk in there with a smile on our face, I think was probably the most thing I'm proud of.
The five years flew by pretty quick for you, didn't it?
Oh, man. Too quick. Too quick.
Yeah. I mean, when you take all the L's that we took to, like, the success just feels even better. I mean, it was hard to walk around LA with UCLA gear on before, but now it's like, oh yeah, they're like that, you know, and we've seen Chip kind of tear it all down to build it back up. And I think Chip and me and Chip respects me and I appreciate that. But with you, Dorian, I feel like Chip had a special place in his heart, a little bit of love for you. So how would you say your relationship with Chip is? Because some people don't even get to have a relationship with Chip, you know, like, let alone like talk to him.
And
like, Dorian is definitely like, if there was like, if Chip had like, I don't know, like family Christmas picture or something, like Dorian might have slipped in one of those.
You're making me blush, man. No, me and Chip are real tight. Obviously, he took me in as a youngin when I was 17, turned 18, and kind of let me go in there and have the keys early and let me play with them, really. He didn't really give me any direction to start out with. We were just kind of filling things out. And I worked really hard, and he appreciated that. He knew I'd figure it out eventually. And over the years, he's just given me more and more to work with. And obviously, the transfer portal has helped out a lot. So, you know, we've been able to get guys in here that he likes and he knows that works for his system. And so I can only thank him from the bottom of my heart for just giving me the keys and riding with me with it all the way until obviously my last year, because there's plenty of times where he could have cut me, threw me to the wolves and told me to transfer and get lost. So,
yeah,
you know, for me to even make it to these 5 years, I think shows me how much he has loyal to me and how much he loves me. So,
no, James, I knew when Chip really loved Dorian when I think it was either spring ball or during camp.
But of what year of his freshman year?
Freshman or going into sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows, like, Dorian is gonna talk. Like, that's just it's in the game practice. You know, like that's he's a competitive. You're a competitive guy. Like, what you know?
But at the same time,
yeah. But there's dogs like that on defense too. And one day he poked the bear. He poked Chris Barnes, and Chris wasn't gonna just let that go. He's gonna argue back, and they're getting into it. But one of them gets kicked out of practice, and the other one doesn't. And let's say Chris had an early shower and Dorian fished out the day. And I was like, okay.
I'm the freshman and he's the senior.
You remember like, this? You remember the story?
Yeah, I do. Sadly.
Speaking of that, who are probably some of the tougher competitors you've kind of gone up against, whether it's during practice against one of your teammates or in the Pac-12 play, or who are some of the guys that you kind of knew you had to kind of be at your best for?
Oh, I think number one that always comes to mind is Darnell Holmes. Him being a corner, having to play him every day at practice, super smart, knows what he's doing, is obviously doing it at a high level at the toughest spot on defense in the nickel on the Giants. So for him to be able to play all that, and as well for me to be able to learn from him my first couple of years was pretty cool. So I'd probably say Darnell.
What about opposing? I know what you've gone up against, Thibodeau.
Yeah,
a number of different guys. Anyone else? Is Thibodeau a sore spot for you?
A little bit, because I didn't think he was as good as he portrayed to be. If I'm the honest, but going back to my freshman year, I think Kenneth Murray. I think him at linebacker was an unreal dog. Athlete. Yeah, definitely a dog for sure.
We've heard quite a few stories from Josh about some of his L's when it comes to hosting recruits. who are some of the
bro, but guys? like I say, bro, the positions that they put, like, that it doesn't even make sense for a fifth year senior to host a high school kid, doesn't, especially a kid from out of the state. It doesn't make any sense, because they're not gonna, it's just two different, you know, ages of, like, you that might as well have a GA host them at that point, like, you know what I'm saying?
Very true.
So that's, I will always plead my case, because
and
I don't just saying, some of the kids that they had me host, I don't know how much they would have helped.
Okay, fair enough. Who are some of the guys that you've hosted during your time, Dorian, and whether they ended up deciding on UCLA or not? It's just always something that's fascinating to me to see the different people who are interested in UCLA along the way.
Yeah, I think guys that are on the team now, I've hosted Logan Loya, who obviously helped me break the touchdown record last year with Utah. let's see, who else? I've actually hosted a lot of transfers over these past 2 years. Being an older guy and then us getting a lot of transfers, and I get to talk to them and have them over at my place. So Raekwon, Bobo, Q-Knight.
Q-Knight, yeah.
And then there's one more, but I can't think of them. But, yeah, I've been able to host a bunch of transfers.
What about Charbonnet and his impact when he comes in? I felt that kind of helped turn things around for UCLA a little bit as well when Charbonnet comes to the door. How were you excited to get him? When did you first hear about him, meet him? When does Charbonnet kind of come into your life for the first time?
Yeah, so at that point, I wasn't really involved in hosting yet. So I didn't know who Zach was. I didn't even know he was on the team until the first day of practice. Yeah, until the first day of practice, and padded. And he gets the ball and he runs to the sideline and then he stiff arms Devin Kirkwood. It's like one of them Derrick Henry stiff arms where he like throws him down and throws him out of bounds. Like, and that's what I knew about Zach Charbonnet for the rest of his career. I will always be a Zach Charbonnet fan after that.
And he's kind of a, I mean, at least especially talking to the media or during games. I mean, you don't really hear him or see him talking a lot of trash or talking much at all. But what is he like in the locker room? Like, when you get one-on-one with him or you guys are in the meeting room or you guys are going over plays, like what was it like kind of working with him on that level?
Yeah, Zach, he opens up to you when you talk to him. He's not going to be the one to start conversation most of the time, which I respect for him. But he's the same guy every day in the locker room, hangs out, talks to everybody around him, and is about his business. And then when he goes back home, he's on the game, watching anime, doing something like that. So Zach's a real chill, cool dude.
Interesting that the running backs, though, because that's something he's, you know, who he's very similar to is Josh Kelly in that same sense. Yeah. Like, the things you're saying is like, that was what JK did. Like
the anime.
Uber happy, though. He's just not like,
The smile, no matter what's going on.
Right.
The one question that we always ask on the podcast is we always like to know who are the funniest guys that you've met or played with at UCLA? Give three or four names if you want.
Your top five. And in 5 years, I know the different stages of UCLA, so you might like.
Yeah, you have a good kind of, you probably see some now. Characters.
That's way too many to think about. I'm like gonna, all right. I got a Martin Andrews.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Number one.
Everyone always says Martin Andrews.
No, but Dorian is honestly the first person to remember just off the top of his head.
Off to say it first. Yeah.
I had to think for a minute. Let's see. I think Martell Irby.
Okay.
He was a jokester.
Telly was funny.
Let's see. Cole Kinder. That's my guy. Yeah.
Okay.
That's my guy. He'll always make you laugh. He'll always make you laugh.
He don't and even he's mean smart to. Too.
Exactly.
It's like, he was a genius.
So it's like just having a conversation with him, I can learn some and laugh at the same time.
Yeah, that's facts.
Let's see. Yeah, the rest of them it's a tie for a lot of them after that. That's my top three, y'all.
What kind of teammate was Josh? That's what I want to know.
Now Josh was real cool. Josh was super supportive. He always helped out the younger guys. That's one thing I do appreciate about Josh, because a lot of guys when we came as freshmen were not trying to help us, even though we were kind of the ones playing at the time. And I understand him at the same time. Like Josh, like whether he was hurt or not, like would always help out. So I think that speaks to how Josh was as a teammate.
I would say kind of weird.
For
your freshman, sophomore year, because there was a clear like divide, and it was like kind of made.
I didn't talk to nobody.
But it was like the new guys were like, oh, those are like Chip's kids, and then the older guys, oh, those are the Mora kids. So like, that's kind of where the divide was of like, not where you stood, but I don't know. It was kind of made obvious. So trying to bridge that gap and then like trying to learn. It was like a whole new. It was a whole new team, bad. So it was just like
it was so bad.
Yeah,
Dorian. So you committed before Chip even had the job, right?
I committed to tomorrow.
Well, and so you hear Chip gets the job. Is he makes a phone call, or how does the communication start? And what made you say like I'm a Bruin no matter what, regardless of like who the coach is?
So I actually didn't talk to Chip until I got on campus.
Oh, geez. How does that happen?
He sent Coach Bible out, the quarterback coach at the time, plenty of times, almost to the point where I kind of forgot Chip was going to be my head coach. But I was just kind of more so fascinated with Coach Bible. He'd obviously coach Russell Wilson and all that stuff. So the things that he was telling me, I thought would be very beneficial for me coming out of high school. Coming out of high school.
Gotcha. And if I'm not mistaken, like I just got an email like 20 minutes ago saying that you were talking to T.O. recently.
Yeah, I was. I was on the T.O. and a hat. So
what is it like talking to T.O., who's obviously a Hall of Famer in his own right, but you know, getting a chance to talk to him. And I mean, you guys have so many different people who just show up on campus. Troy Aikman, I'm sure you probably had a chance to talk to him. What is it like to kind of talk to some of these guys, especially now as you are getting ready for the NFL yourself?
Yeah, it's cool to be able to pick their brain, ask them questions and see their opinions on stuff. T.O. is definitely the one to kind of take the more, I wouldn't say chill route, but he's definitely not going to be flashy and all that stuff, at least now, and all and everything that he does and everything that he wished he would have told his younger self. So that's kind of the advice I got from him.
Josh, have you ever been, I'll say, I mean, because we see people all the time being at UCLA, being in L.A., but don't cap. Have you ever been starstruck by somebody that you saw or like said what's up to?
Yeah. So it was either, I think it was my sophomore year. I walked into the quarterback room and all the walls in there were filled with like plays and protections and all this different stuff. And to the left where the monitor was Russell Wilson. And I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah. I just walked in on his meeting and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Da, da, da. He was like, no, like, come in, sit down. Da, da, da. And like, I was able to talk to him, chop it up, like get to watch him break down film. And everything that he does. And this is during the off season too. Like, and he's like going over it like he's like mid season. So just to see that was really cool. I was like, oh shit, I got a lot to work on. So
that's fire. Nice. It's always nice to see when like the pro guys are like, you know, like they not standoffish or not like weird. Right. Because there are some people, some pro athletes that come around, it's like don't want to, you know, don't want to be bothered, but like not even like not even just not bothered, but like don't even want to like interact with anybody.
Exactly.
I got at least two more things for you. One is, what are your goals? What on or off the field? What are your goals for you this upcoming year, in the next couple years, whether it's business related or NFL related? What are some goals that you kind of have set for yourself?
Yeah, I think on the field, learning the league, I think that will be the biggest part for me, obviously, as a quarterback, being able to learn from a vet, come in and probably not have as high as expectations, to play right away and being able to learn the system, learn the building, learn the guys in the building, and then being able to, when my opportunity is given to me, to be able to show out then. I think off the field, wanting to start into a nonprofit, thinking about things I'm passionate about, trying to use my money for good on that end, as well as opening up some business opportunities with some connections I made back in LA. So,
have you talked to Kyle Phillips or Q Lake or any of those guys and kind of picked their brain now that they're kind of about, I think they're about 2 years in now, right? Or no, was this Kyle's first year?
Second year.
They're going into their second year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just getting a chance to talk to some of those guys. Have you been able to kind of pick their brain about anything?
Yeah, I'm actually invited to Kyle's wedding. So
Kyle's getting married. What the heck?
Yes, yes. So I have been able to talk to Kyle. He's been banged up throughout the year. Said obviously the NFL is pretty rough on you, but yeah. It's great. You obviously get to spend all your time on football, and you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So that's kind of the mindset I've went into it with all the stuff I've had to do over there. Past 8 weeks, and then he's been able to help out a lot, obviously going through it too, and let me know what to expect. So,
and your family and your mom, she's at just about every game, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. Obviously been there for you since day one and whatnot, but you know, we see her. I see her on Twitter. I interact with her quite a bit. Just tell me a little bit about her and just your family in general and the support they have for you.
Yeah, she's like my mini manager, I call it. Mm-hmm. She handles everything off the field for me, kind of making sure that I have stuff with my agents handled, stuff with, you know, training handled, where my money's going, through NIL as well as through other avenues now. So she's been able to help out a shit ton, been able to kind of guide me through this whole process. Even though she's never been through it, she knows a lot of people that have played. My cousin has played, and she's been able to reach out to him and just put me around the right people, making sure that, you know, obviously my head's staying on the right way and I'm going down the right path. So.
Shout out Mama TR, man.
Mm-hmm.
Not for sure.
I want to get the last few questions. Definitely got to be messy. Now that you're gone, you left a big hole at UCLA at quarterback. Who you got starting game one?
I'm
not doing start bench cut, but could do that.
There's two scenarios. Okay. I say the first scenario, go back to my freshman year, brought in Wilton, 6 year. Was going to give the freshmen some reps, although Wilton was starting. This year, you got Garbs.
Mm-hmm.
You also got a freshman. Give the freshman some reps. My year, he got hurt. I ended up playing the whole season. This year, if Garbs ends up messing up, Dante could take over the rest of the year. The way he's looked in spring, I've heard it's been pretty damn good. Second scenario is you just give Garbs the keys right away. He's obviously the most confident in the offense. He knows the players. He knows he's obviously had the most timing with the guys in the building. So I would give him to be the safe bet. Obviously, throw Dante in there or Slee and try and give them a chance. But ultimately, it's Garb's team.
And speaking of Dante, obviously, there is a lot of excitement when he comes in. And, you know, he flips from Oregon and whatnot. And I even saw you out there at a practice where you were over there with the quarterbacks and you kind of pulled him to the side a little bit. And we're talking to him about some feet work and some footwork and stuff like that. What are your early impressions of just him as you know, a friend? Do you see maybe a lot of yourself in him and kind of the scenario you kind of, maybe not just the scenario you laid out, but him coming in as a freshman, having that high expectation and stuff like that?
Yeah, I actually do not see him like myself. I was very erratic my freshman year. I think I was obviously handed the keys really early, and I was kind of made known either way it was going to go. And so I had a lot on my plate going on. It was hard for me to handle. The one thing I see in Dante is he's handling everything tremendously up until this point since he's been on campus. And the things I've heard from either players or staff or whoever it is around the building, that he carries himself very highly. He knows how to obviously operate the offense and study and make sure he knows what he's doing. So I hear very high things, and I think his future is going to be very bright for sure.
Two other guys that I want to mention real quick who can also hear their name called this week, Mafi and Gaines. Just tell me a little bit about them and what they've meant for you and your career, because I think they've been there just as long as you have, right? I think you guys all came in together.
Yep, we did. And going back to our freshman year, Moff as a D lineman, he absolutely hated me, wanted nothing to do with me.
Why?
Wanted to beat me up every day just because I like to talk crap in practice.
Makes sense.
And being a D lineman, obviously, and can't be able to touch the quarterback, even though you're right to the sack. Kind of pisses people off. So, but now Moff is my best friend. I've been able to go back and show him my hometown for the Shrine Game. Been able to meet his family, meet my family. Moff means a lot to me. And then going back to John, I didn't think he was big enough coming in freshman year to play right away. I thought he had a lot of development to do. I knew he was really smart. And that obviously served him a long way up until this point. But his growth from freshman year to now has definitely got him to where he is too. I'd say he's very similar to me. We've kind of had our ups and downs, and we've been able to just ride the sail and make sure that we're doing everything that we can every day to give ourselves the opportunity. And John obviously has done a lot for the UCLA offensive line the last 2 years. So credit to those two.
Josh, you got anything before we let Dorian go?
You've been traveling a lot. What city do you see yourself living in next year?
Oh, man. Great question, huh? I guess the professional answer would be no comment. But since I know you guys, I can give you guys a little insight. No, I did take a bunch of visits. I do think the one that would probably fit me best and for me, the best development-wise, I do think would be Philadelphia. Obviously, they just paid Jalen. But if you go back to when Jalen got drafted, they had just paid Carson Wentz. So I feel good about that situation. Although, like I mentioned earlier, the Bengals do have Joe. I do feel like that offense and that coaching staff could really turn me into a legit pocket passer, and someone that can really throw the football and learn the art of it, and the reason why Joe's so successful over there. So
awesome. Appreciate you kind of, you know, answering that, because a lot of people would kind of duck that question. With that being said, again, Dorian, thank you so much, not only for your time today, but just over the last 4 or 5 years that I've had just interviewing you. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate you guys.
Wish you the best of luck.
Yes, sir. Go Bruins, baby.
And again, this is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.